Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bible class this morning, we talked about our destination. Everlasting life in paradise with God and with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. But still remains the question of how do we get there? Our journey as God's people. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he told those apostles, you know the way. And Philip said, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father, except through me. This Sunday, third Sunday after Easter, is designated as Good Shepherd Sunday. We're reminded of the picture of probably the most well-known and treasured of the Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus takes this picture of the shepherd, the sheep, and in John 10, he applies it to himself as he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, we're probably not well acquainted with sheep herding, maybe cattle, chickens. But the picture was familiar to the people of Jesus' day. The picture of the shepherd's loving care for his flock as he feeds them with the green pastures going up in the mountain to the pastures, the quiet waters, protecting and defending them from all dangers. But Jesus carries this picture to his fulfillment when he said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock. There are those big chapters in the scripture, John 6, the feeding of the 5,000, and I am the bread of life. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection victory over death. And this chapter, John 10, which is known as the Good Shepherd chapter. This morning, we will consider the blessings of being one of Jesus' sheep. Our text is taken from then John 10, where he'd laid the groundwork in the first part of the chapter when he speaks himself as the gate to the sheepfold, then also as the good shepherd. Begin at verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, but you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. These are the words. The context of our text following Jesus' earlier words that he was the good shepherd is in connection with the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. Now remember that Solomon built that beautiful temple for the Lord and his glory to dwell in. But that temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar when the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were taken into the Babylonian captivity. The temple was destroyed. 70 years later, according to God's promise, a remnant of the Jews returned to the promised land and rebuilt that temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. But outwardly, it was nothing in comparison to the glory of Solomon's temple. And this would have been about 500 years before Jesus was born. Then the Jews were under the conquering foot of Alexander the Great. He died without any heirs, and his kingdom was divided among his four generals. The Seleucidae were given control of the promised land. And it was a horrible time for God's people. One of the leaders was called Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the guy who desecrated the temple by not only offering sacrifices to idols in the temple, but he also sacrificed pigs in mockery. Because remember, the pig was the unclean animal. Desecrated the altar of God. But then arose the Maccabees. Judas Maccabee freed the temple from Antiochus Epiphanes. And for a brief period, God's people were their own people. But what he did then, after he cleansed the temple, he rededicated it to the service of the Lord. But this was short-lived, because next came the Romans, who put Israel and God's people under their authority. Now, we're told that the Jews, verse 23, surrounded in Jesus and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus, in a godly way, became exasperated. How often had he not clearly told them that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God? And more than that, he did the miracles by which he revealed that what he said was true. John 9, you have the miracle of the blind man being healed, Jesus the light of the world. John 11, you have Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after he is in the grave for those 4 days. But they would not listen. It's almost like when Jesus was before Caiaphas and he says, "Tell us if you are the Son of God." What had Jesus been doing all this time except revealing to them that he was their promised Messiah? But they would not listen. Verse 25, "I told you, but you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, because you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." In unbelief, they were not a part of Jesus' flock. But then comes one of the most beautiful and reassuring parts of Scripture for us as we make our journey through this life on the way to everlasting life. Beginning at verse 27, Jesus reveals the blessings of being one of his flock, one of his sheep. First blessing, "My sheep hear my voice." Must have been quite a sight. the sheep were brought in from all the shepherds into a common pen at night. And in the morning, the shepherd would come. He would call his sheep. Only his sheep would respond to his voice. What a beautiful picture of our relationship with Jesus. We not only hear his voice, we listen to his voice. By Spirit-giving faith, we respond when Jesus speaks to us. I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for the flock, for you. What a beautiful picture of sheep who by nature love to wander. A beautiful picture as the believer responds to Jesus' voice. Now you'd think in Jesus' day, when he personally spoke, there'd been a lot more people that would have believed in him. But there were not. Jesus still speaks in the scriptures to us. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify, Jesus said, about me. You this morning, every day of your life, hear the voice of Jesus. The second blessing, Jesus says, and I know them. It's always kind of neat when we were young and we'd go in the summer to my grandfather's farm outside Watertown, South Dakota. He had about 25 or 30 Holsteins. They had names. He knew each one of those cows. Think of today the contrast with the mass-produced stockyards. What is even more remarkable is that the shepherd would know the names of all of his sheep. More than that, he would know their strengths, their needs, their weaknesses, just as Jesus knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you need. He provides for you. He knows when you need strengthening, comfort, when you need the rod. And that word know in the Old Testament has the context of chosen. When God says, I knew my people Israel, I chose them. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep, he says, I have chosen you to be one of my own. The third blessing, they follow me. The shepherd doesn't drive his flock with his staff, beating them into submission. He leads. And the sheep, those chosen by him, his own flock, whom he loves, they follow where he leads. You think the sheep gets up in the morning and wonders, well, I wonder if I'm going to get to pasture today. I wonder if I'm going to be attacked by a lion or a bear. The sheep just follows Jesus. And we also need simply to follow him. Remember the hymn, Jesus, lead thou on till our rest is won. The path is not always easy or smooth, but the shepherd leads the flock where they need to go. And then verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You have this picture in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every day we walk in the shadow of death, which threatens us and will take us. But Jesus says, I give them life. Not just a few more years on earth when you reach the end of your life's journey, but eternal life. For Psalm 23 ends, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, the shepherd, gives everlasting life to his sheep. He goes on, they shall never perish. God so loved the world that he gave his own Son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. And perish doesn't simply mean die. All right, I died, that's it, okay. Perish means, as we talked about this morning, the fate of the unbeliever who is cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death, dying forever, separated from God and his love. But Jesus gives as a gift to his sheep the promise of everlasting life with him and all his sheep. But sometimes the journey gets hard for the sheep. They may be injured. They may be tired. They may be old. And sometimes we wonder in our life's journey, can I make it another day? Jesus steps in with the promise, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And not only out of my hand, nobody will be able to snatch you from my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. What a blessed promise. The victory service of one who rests from his labors and whose works follow him. That in Jesus' hand, you are safe. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Not death or even life. Neither height nor depth. Nothing will be able to take you away from Jesus, your good shepherd. And so in spite of your weaknesses, you walk confidently by faith and not by sight. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is also the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. What a contrast. The Lamb and the Shepherd. And Jesus promises to you that in spite of the fact that you experience death's sting, maybe in the death of a loved one or a friend or facing your own death, that death is a terrible thing, disrupting thing, painful thing. But Easter assures us, the Good Shepherd assures us, who gave his life and then rose again, that death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you, as one of the sheep, one of the lambs of God, rejoice this Easter that Jesus is your good shepherd. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Amen.